Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Oh, hey, ooh, drinking early. Drinking early, huh? Ooh, got me all excited. I mean, I'm excited about hopefully a 1 o'clock first pitch for a baseball game.
Right?
So I'm going to start drinking for that.
That's coming down. This is going to be, we're going to the pen early for me here, all right?
Going to the bullpen already?
We're going to the pen right out of the gate.
Should I stop Dirt before he gets in his car?
This is, we're going on. Brandon's still around.
Maybe he'll come help me out.
Yeah, this is good. We're going on short rest right now. I am already cooked. I spent 2 hours in the car this morning because traffic is so egregious and it has sucked the life out of me.
I left the house 15 minutes early today and I got to work 15 minutes early.
I left the house at 7:42, and I walked in the door here at 9:40 or 9:42.
Nah, it was brutal, dude.
It was. Hopefully, everybody's okay. For anybody who's driving in the Tigard area, and you're wondering why on earth is traffic not moving at all, there is a massive accident on 99 in Tigard, right on Guardy. And
I don't know where that is.
Yeah, for anybody listening, you'll know.
That might as well be, you know. That's like Wyoming to me. It's literally called Wyoming. Yeah.
It happens.
I don't know where that is.
But yeah, it's...
Shout out to whoever's down there, though, if you're listening to this fine program.
And if you're wondering what the hell is going on, yeah, there's an entire intersection shut down. You had to route through a neighborhood to get here. So, was not great, Bob. Especially considering I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave early. I'm going to try and get in early. I did this the other day, too. I tried to leave early and get here early, and the same thing happened. I got stuck in another accident. The moral of the story, don't try to be early, Danny, because you're going to run into a hellacious accident somewhere.
Yeah, isn't this the definition of insanity when you repeat the same task over and over expecting different results?
And I'm sure when I send those texts to you guys, you're like, there's no way. So I've gotten to the point where I send you videos of like, no, seriously, this is what's transpiring right now.
Trust Tree?
Yeah.
I don't want to see your videos.
Okay.
Yeah. Videos of you stuck in traffic are like paint drying.
Perfect.
I'd rather watch the paint.
Awesome.
Because I could see like little drips. Like somebody, I'm like, that's going to dry. That's going to leave a weird mark.
This is the military in me because I hate like it. I don't get anxious. The closest I get to anxious is anytime I'm either late or like just on time.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing I was going to be like 40 plus minutes late was just like, no, seriously. I'm like, because if I screw up and I go, I slept in. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't set my alarm. Like, I'll just be honest about that. But like being late, I'm always like, no. Seriously. Something happened. You know what I mean?
I'm never late.
What's that like?
It's fantastic, dude. It's awesome.
Because I've had it happen twice in the last week where I've been stuck in this.
I know. I've even been working on my wife. She tends to be late a lot. And no, I've got her. It's great. I've been showing up to like family events. Like, be here at 5 and I'm rolling in at 4:59.
I like to be like 4:50.
You
have kids.
That's the kids and the wife. That's the you know, that's the time I will find routes that save me a minute or two. If you're sending me into a neighborhood to save me 2 minutes, I'm out, dog. I'm out.
Not in for those?
Nope. I will just sit here in the slow, fast lane on the left and just keep on keeping on, man. Yeah, I try not to let it bother me, dude. Just ride it out.
See, me, even if it's gonna be taking around the same amount of time, I just prefer to be moving.
Right?
It's a mental
It's the
thing
whole
for
being
me.
Stuck thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm moving. Slowly, but I'm moving.
Keeping it moving.
Yeah. That's my favorite part is Thursdays, because Thursdays I leave earlier than I normally do. I leave at 7:40. Because I listen to the great Josh Pate on Dirt and Sprague.
Gotta get your Pate in.
Yeah. Sometimes not gonna lie, sometimes my commute into work is built around what time segments are starting for the morning show.
Mm.
Well, because I am a P1.
Indeed.
I'm the P1-est of P1s of that show.
It happens.
Yeah.
What's it like to listen to the beginning of that show? Because I'll never know.
Oh, I don't really catch the beginning of that show. I usually come in around 7 o'clock.
That's a hard no, dog. Yeah. That's not happening.
I have in the past. I have in the past, yeah. I'm up around 6 a.m., but I'm not ready to absorb information.
I get up at 6:40. That's my get-up time on non-game day recovery during the season. This is going to be a fun little experiment. My experiment, I mean, I'm going to be miserable for the first couple of times when the season starts, and I get home at 1:30 in the morning.
Dude, it's time to move to the city, man. About to be a city boy.
I mean, I'm moving closer.
You're about to be a city boy.
Like, that's happening. The house is up for sale. Like, I love Newberg. I love you. Like, I love...
Shout out, Newberg. If you're in Newberg right now, honk your horn.
I love my little corner lot. I love my land. I love the fact that I'm, like, a couple thousand feet off the river. I love all the little stores. I do not like having a minimum hour and 10-minute drive to work.
It sure is pretty down there.
It is, dude. It's dope as hell.
I gotta get down there again. It's been a while.
Do
people go in the off-season?
What do you mean?
Like Newberg, Dundee, the wine life?
It dies down drastically, but you know how you know the weather is turning? You start seeing Lambos and G-Wagons, and it's like, if you've never been out there, like when the wine season is really popping, you have no idea. Like, it's like Saudi Sheikh money comes out there. It's nuts. There's only like three little hotels outside the Allison.
I have two cars purchased in the last 3 years, but I look ghetto.
It's all that vineyard money down there.
No, for real. Yeah. Like, and you've got like investors from overseas that come out here. There's one restaurant out there. They've got a partnership with a vineyard in Italy that's like 13th generation, like in the family kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. It's bonkers. You're just like, oh, what's it like to have bought a plot of land for a farthing? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, two farthings got us 2,000 acres of plowable land that we now sell, you know, millions of dollars worth of grapes for wine out of. It's pretty dope. So, yeah.
I like wine. I had a glass of wine last night.
I thought you were going to say this morning.
No, I don't drink in the morning.
Mm.
I don't. Mm. I don't like it.
Really?
Mm-mm. Don't like it at all.
Never been a hair of the dog guy?
I mean, I have, but I don't like it. Yeah,
I had a buddy who swore. I mean, he's not the only one who does this, but like swore by the fully loaded Bloody Mary. And every time we went out, every time, it did not matter if we were on the weekend, weekday, he would Bloody Mary before if he had a bender the night before.
Well, I don't like vodka and I don't like tomato juice, so I'm out on that.
I hate all those things.
I'm currently on kickoff watch for Oregon State, Washington State, and Corvallis as I'm officially going to the game.
Hey!
Very excited to get down to research. It's been about a decade since I've been at research, so I'm excited to see the updates and all that kind of jazz. And I'm in the group chat with the friends that are all going down, and I really, really don't want a 12:30 kick. I can't tell you how badly I don't want a 12:30 kick, because I will get up at 6 in the morning.
In pregame?
And I will drive down to Corvallis, because I can't go Friday. It's Halloween. And I got three kids who've got 1,000 things they want to do for Halloween, which I'm not stoked about. We'll give you more info on that. I know you all are waiting with bated breath to know how my Halloween goes with three kids. And so I will get up at 6 a.m. and drive to Corvallis and get there at 8:30 and start drinking.
Attaboy.
I will.
But so you will drink in the morning.
I will for that.
Boy, I had to really twist your arm to get that to happen.
That'll be the only situation. That and Vegas are the only situation.
You mentioned Halloween, and we still have plenty of time before then. Do you get in the spirit? Are you dressing up?
I have lately gotten into the spirit. I think the kids really helped that, because I used to be pretty bah humbug, except for in college. I used to go to Halloween party. I mean, chasing chicks. And
I was just saying, it's whatever slutty version of whatever.
Yeah, I was 100 pounds lighter, and I was Anthony Kiedis one year.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, My costume was real easy. I had a wig and three socks.
Yeah, I mean,
that was pretty great.
I went as a baby once.
So, I will dress up.
You.
I will dress up.
There you go.
I'll do something.
I did the Care Bear last year. Full body suit.
Did. I was here.
Grumpy Bear. Also, that thing was a million freaking degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It doesn't breathe.
I've got a great Woody costume from Toy Story.
Oh, right on.
Oh, there you go.
Mm. Yeah. I have Jedi robes as well.
Oh, okay.
That's not a costume, though. Those are real robes.
I only made it through the first segment last year in my costume because that Ken doll box.
Oh, the Ken box.
Awkward.
Oh, the box. Yeah, that was great. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. No, I'll probably do something. My problem is now I've decided to grow a beard because me and the wife, we keep talking about wanting to be Elvis and Priscilla for Halloween, but I don't remember Priscilla having a beard, so I don't think I can do that this
Priscilla?
Year.
Priscilla?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're going to be Priscilla and she's going to be Elvis?
Wouldn't that be the best?
There you go.
Totally.
Wouldn't that be the best?
Yeah. I like it.
Although I'd have to shave. Either way, if I'm Elvis, either way, I'd have to shave the mustache, and that's not going to go over
well.
Oh,
yeah, no.
That's not going to go over well.
It is funny. We both, without saying anything, unintentionally started growing beards.
Yeah, I didn't talk to you about it.
No, I just...
I almost thought about not saying anything.
I look,
just letting it ride, and then one day you're like, whoa, you got a beard.
Yeah, no, I...
Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
He did. I just decided, you know what? I'm switching it up a little bit. Got a haircut, and I'm like, I'm just going to grow this out. And I actually ran into somebody the other day who walked past me and did like kind of a double take. They're like, oh, I'm so used to you not having like any facial hair there that I didn't recognize you immediately. And I was like, it's not that, buddy. It's barely there. Come on. I've been growing it for like 4 days. Chill. But yeah, no, it's winter beard life.
Yeah, I think I'm going with that this year.
Yeah.
I'll probably get November 1st and I'll get mad and shave it all off.
Well, no, you can't do it then.
I can be very temperamental.
No, you know what November is.
I do Movember.
Yeah.
From a mustache, yeah. Not no shave.
Okay.
It's all about Mo for prostate cancer awareness.
I actually like did the thing with them, with the actual Movember people a couple years ago.
I got a buddy that does a big thing for that and grows this just horrific mustache every year for
Caterpillar?
It. Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough.
You know what? Props to all you out there that can't grow one. That do in that month because that hurts.
It does.
That like that you are sacrificing.
Rocking a George Kirby doesn't look good.
No,
it kind of looked good on him though.
It's like in the NHL when the playoff beards.
Yeah,
like you get the young
kids, yeah.
And you're like, oof. And then you see Brent, like you're on a team with Brent Burns who has this beard that was gifted to him by Nordic Yeti gods.
I mean, even dudes like Sidney Crosby, who's closer to our age now, he can't grow a beard.
No, and he tries. But, there, I mean, that man has no hope.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a great show for you today. It's a bunch of leftovers. Monday Night Football to get to as well. Web Gems. You got stabbed? Free consultation at 12:15. That will give you free advice on any of the issues going on in your life, whether it's sports-related or personal life-related. So get those in on the fan text line, 503-864-6326, and we'll do that at 12:15. When we come back, we'll start here. Decision 2.0, are you ready for this? 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There was something going on. 1016 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live, as we always are, from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. YouTube.com/1051TheFan. They let you interact with us throughout the entire day. This on the text line, I'm a true P1 of the station. I have an alarm that goes off at 5:58 every weekday. Turn on the Odyssey app. Sometimes I fall back asleep to it. Sometimes I get up, but I listen to the fan. I always turn the Odyssey app on to find out what Dirt and Sprague are talking about so I can just steal their ideas and not have to do my own show prep. That's what I do.
I try to avoid it, honestly, because of that exact thing. I'm like, I don't want to take anything from them, and yet I end up listening and coming in.
I know. I almost want to share with them our work doc, just so they know. Like, I have this on for days.
Yeah.
It's been here
it's
for
been
days.
It's been here. Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
I asked Big Sook that one time, way, way back in the day when I was competing in Hunt for the Host. I was like, you guys don't go on until 3 o'clock. So, like, do you listen? How do you show prep? And he was like, I don't know. He might have changed over the years, so I don't know. But at the time, he was like, I try not to. I watch stuff, I read stuff, but I try not to listen to talk because I don't want it to influence. Affect what I'm going to say. And I thought that was genius, and I wish I could do that.
I do the back and forth of sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, because there are times when somebody will say something, and I go, that's interesting. it's a fun path to go down. But sometimes it is also one of those things where I'm like, I hate everything that you're saying right now, and you're strengthening my position of where I am with something.
I think it gets my brain going in the morning.
Yeah.
A lot to get to this hour. In about 15 minutes, we'll get to Monday Night Football. That was a fun game.
Yeah, you kidding
night.
Me? Are we going to talk about the Chiefs losing?
Absolutely. also, in this hour, we'll take a chance and look at the new number two team in the nation, some college football leftovers, and we will get to Shaedon Sharpe in the noon hour. But let's start with this. I can't believe Sprague said this to me when during their show. I think he was using the restroom. He said, anybody that fell for that is an idiot. Well, sign me up. I'm an idiot right here. I know, but... And then Rusty and I were talking about this before the show as well, in like, I like LeBron. I think LeBron is great. I think LeBron is, you know, one of the best sports athletes I've ever seen in my life.
I am especially pro LeBron.
Especially influential in terms of what sports is in my lifetime. But man, he's got a lot of like Russell Wilson in him sometimes, where it's like, dude, you're not a bad guy, but God, you're exhausting.
Yeah, and it's
and like I fell for the decision 2.0. I fell for it like a chump.
It's like I was telling you out there in the bullpen. I have always been a LeBron apologist because he's not an idiot. He doesn't go. Well,
he's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy. He doesn't go out and do stupid, harmful stuff. He hoops. He does good stuff for the community. But when it comes down to things like this, I feel like Adam Sandler in Spanglish, and I am running out of excuses for the lady of the house.
Totally, man. And it's just, I get it, dude. You want to hawk Hennessy? You want to hawk Amazon? You want to start your own league? Like, do all that stuff. Don't hype it up like this and give me a video where it's like, oh, man, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
But not just that. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the one blemish on LeBron's career that people point to is going to Miami in the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you leverage that thing and make it worse? Because now it's not only like what that was. And again, the decision thing, like, I don't care. I genuinely don't. Because he raised, I think it was like $4 or $5 million for the Boys and Girls Club.
Totally. Like, and LeBron James in Miami might be the greatest basketball player I ever saw in my life.
Yes.
Small window.
Yes. The most unstoppable player I've ever seen outside of Shaquille O'Neal.
Sure.
Like, that's the list. Physical dominance in the NBA. Peak Shaq, Miami LeBron. That was it. But why leverage that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that just seems like such a horrible... Like, I guess if you want the exposure, and that's what Hennessy wanted, was to get the exposure, because everybody on socials, whether it's TikTok, IG, Twitter, whatever, all they're doing, not every single person is just crapping on him. I guess if you don't care if it's all press is good press, because
I don't live in that world.
I don't either, but he's not stupid enough to think that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and
this had to be the plan.
And that's why I kind of relate it to Russell Wilson a little bit, that it's just like read the room, bro. Like, understand what's going on around you, man. You're in a great spot right now. Like, mm-hmm. I think LeBron is in a great spot right now in the twilight of his career, whether he finishes this year, plays another year, what happens with the Lakers, whatever. That's a conversation for a longer time. You are no longer the marquee guy at LA, which I think is a good spot for him to be. You can be the old man mentor and pass the torch on to Luka in this Laker legacy thing you're trying to build. And I think you've got a lot of goodwill for it. You're slimming down. You're becoming the methodical old man point guard, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do this, and I'm like, man, this is why a lot of people are very critical of you. You can't be critical of his basketball.
No.
Like how he plays and what he's done over his career. He's been like four different players in the last 20 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, he was the freak athlete like we have never seen before to start his career. Then it was the point forward. And then in Miami, it was the good luck stopping me. I am a physical power unlike anything you've ever seen outside of Shaquille O'Neal. Then he slims down and goes to Cleveland and pairs up with Kyrie and K Love and gets that
brings
done.
The title home.
In a fashion against one of the greatest teams we have ever seen in that Warriors team. Like, he has marked every box. And like you said, he's had like four different versions of himself. Like, LeBron James.
He doesn't get a Dewey. You don't hear about him running around on his wife. You don't hear him slapping people or.
He has been in the public light since he was 15 years old.
Yes,
and
sir.
His biggest misstep is the decision. Why would you tarnish that?
Also, if this Hennessy is going to be really nice, which I assume it's going to be really nice, don't make cocktails with that.
Also,
it's going to be too expensive to make cocktails.
You guys are,
you don't make cocktails with Hennessy.
You guys are.
I take that back. There's some really cool cocktails you can make with Hennessy.
Yeah, isn't Hulk made with Hennessy?
I don't know what that is.
I mean, you could go with like a sidecar, but still, you'd want to use a cheaper brandy, I would assume.
Totally.
You guys are both. Cognac. You guys are both barmen.
Although a Tuaca sidecar is fire.
a TikTok came up the other day. Did you know that you can run Henny through a Brita water filter and make it taste 11 billion times smoother?
Well, you can do that with vodka,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, people say that about vodka all the time.
Yeah,
I think that was a Mythbusters.
Yeah.
I was like, does that actually work? And they had like three people at a bar doing it. And they're like, oh, that's so much better. Like, this is a problem. Like, this, if you are not somebody who's had Henny, does, it's not the taste, it's what it makes you do. that's the problem. But if it all of a sudden starts going down smoother, that's problematic. But also, if you're Hennessy, like, why don't you just do that and sell a more expensive, more filtered version of it?
Or just the same and
I know,
rebrand
but like,
it.
But you know what I mean? Like, just I did not realize that it was like you could simply put it through a Brita water filter and that would be enough.
And that, I mean, that's essentially what, you know, like. High-end vodka is just more distilled vodka, thus making it smoother and clear, right? You're a vodka man, Russ. You know that, right? Yeah, it's just cleared up.
Yeah, that plastic bottle of HRD has not been through. It's
hey, you put it through a Brita filter, and it's closer to Grey Goose, my friend. It is.
Yeah, I know. But the problem is, it hasn't been run through a filter, but it's in that bottle.
Also, kids at home, if you run liquor through your Brita filter, that filter is toast.
Cooked.
It is
cooked.
Toast. There's no washing it out.
Yeah, no, you need to throw it away and get another one. Yeah, and
or it's your liquor Brita.
Yeah, because it's.
Can you imagine you got a pitcher of vodka in the fridge? That'd be great.
I mean,
a picture of Hennessy in the fridge in your Brita filter.
Definitely.
Oh, it's getting low.
Oh no, Timmy, don't use that one.
Yeah, definitely. If it's in your fridge, write vodka on the filter or on the Brita. That way, you know which one is which. Because you go down there at night to get a cool glass of the Brita water out of the fridge, and you grab the wrong one. I mean, your night just got a lot more interesting.
Reminds me of being in Minnesota at the my wife's family's lake cabin, and Grandpa Bill, he took me downstairs to the where they keep all the kayaks and all the floating stuff and whatnot. They got the beer fridge, and he goes, "So, hey Jeff, you like the vodka?
You like the vodka?"
I'm like, "Well, yeah, sure." He goes, "Do you you know the Grey Goose? Don't you know?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, sure." He goes, "Well, look at this. This is the Kirkland brand from Costco. It's the same. It's Grey Goose, just with the Kirkland label." All right.
Okay.
It's the simple things.
It is. I did know that.
No,
I did know that.
Yeah. Well, Kirkland's, they're being sued because they copied Titleist Golf Ball.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. Like, that's what Kirkland does.
Well, yeah.
For everything. It's like, there's legit.
I prefer Kirkland hard seltzers over White Claws.
Dude, there are legitimate Kirkland brand, like, everything that are like better
Kirkland,
than some of the originals.
Kirkland Lager is made by Deschutes.
That's what Jake was just saying. Kirkland beer is Deschutes.
So yeah, shout out Kirkland.
But I just thought it was funny too with old Grandpa Bill because he managed to squeeze in about four or five. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Oh, I'm just gonna squeeze right past you here.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking LeBron. Let's move on.
Okay, that's fine.
there is some breaking news in the NFL that we'll get to here. I will save that for Rusty over there
in
his update. So I won't ruin that. But we'll carve out a little
bit
of time.
Take my fun away.
Carve out a little bit of time for that, as I find it fascinating. It was not what I expected. But before we do that, the Kahuna with sports.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't try to fight the feeling,
'cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Great Monday Night Football game last night. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes as we're calling an audible here. And the Bengals are calling an audible as well. 503-864-6326. Red Rover, Red Rover, let the old QB come over.
Indeed. Joe Flacco.
You know, we talked about this weeks ago, or last week, I think, when they announced Dylan Gabriel was going to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett got traded to the Raiders. So the thought process in my mind, and I heard some other people say this too, was you don't trade Flacco because he's still like the head in the building. Mm-hmm. Like he's the guy in the building that's going to keep things together, be the mentor, the
now
leader.
Shadur's the backup.
Yeah, and that is the most Cleveland Browns thing I've ever heard in my life. Is this not? That is a. I think that's a bad football. Good on Cincinnati because Jake Browning is struggling.
Yeah,
I don't know if Joe's going to be much better per se, but good on the Bengals for doing something.
For trying to save something.
And not going and get Russell Wilson. I can't believe you'd rather have Joe Flacco than Russell
Wilson. I thought
they'd
go Jameis. If I'm being bluntly honest, Jameis, I heard. He doesn't compete with us now, so I think I can say his name. I heard Rich Eisen talking about that on his show the other day, and he was like, Jameis is 100% available. You could probably get him for a fifth, certainly could get him for a fourth. So basically, this swap, they did Flacco and a six for a fifth, so maybe you get Flacco and a fifth for a fourth. Or I'm sorry, Jameis and a fifth for a fourth. You know what I mean? That same same kind of compensation scale as it were. I think it's interesting, though, that instead of going, hey, Joe Flacco to the Bengals, your first thought was Joe Flacco leaving the Browns. You know what I mean?
Cause totally.
That seems like, I get it, the Bengals are really going through it, but the more interesting thing, I think, to your credit, is that the Bengals or the Browns are saying, well, if Dylan doesn't work or if Dylan gets dinged up, Shadur's going to be the guy. Because, as you said, Pickett's gone. Flacco's gone. Or are they operating as Shadur as the backup? And if something does happen to Dylan in game, they go to Shadur and then they go to the waiver wire or go find somebody on a practice squad. They go find their Snoop Huntley.
Phillip Rivers is available.
You know what I mean? Like go find somebody off the street or off a practice squad to come in. That's the thing is, I don't know. Because remember, ownership for the Cleveland Browns has made it very clear. He was not him who mandated that the Browns take Shadur Sanders, even though we all saw the draft room and how thrilled they were to make that call.
And maybe that's what this actually is. If I can find a way to spin this in a nice way, in a positive light for Browns fans out there, is you are saying we took a quarterback in the third round and took a quarterback in the fifth round. We're not very good this year. We're not going to be very good this year. There's a good chance we're drafting a quarterback next year. Might as well see what both these dudes do. And so even if Gabriel doesn't get hurt, maybe they're saying if he plays three games and looks ass, then they bring in Shadur to kind of see what they have. If we take them at their word for Shadur was drafted because we feel that's value and not because Haslam was meddling. That's the positive spin. Yeah. I still think even if that's the route you were going to go, you still hold on to Joe Flacco. Unless Joe came to you.
Or Pickett.
Or Pickett.
Yeah, that's the thing. Joe's earned that.
If Joe came to you and said, hey, can I get out of here? I would do that. The Browns are not me, obviously. The Browns operate in a different way than the majority of the organizations in the NFL. But I would like to think Joe Flacco's earned that. He took you to a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, dude, you want to go?
He's been in the league since damn near the 90s. Like, well,
and then here's the next question. We'll flip it over to the Bengals side. Is Joe Flacco a better route than Jake Browning?
look, we sat here and we talked about Browning and where he fits in the pantheon of backup quarterbacks. And you and I both said the same thing of like, Jake Browning's certainly one of the better backups, but he has been egregiously bad.
It's been a really rough ride. I know it's easy for me to hate on him because he's, you know,
yeah, I know, but
he's in the Mount Rushmore of Huskies that I hate of all time.
But you didn't do that.
But I didn't know. No. He's a really good backup, and there's a reason he's been a backup for Joe Burrow for years, because when Joe gets hurt, which he does,
yep, he stepped in.
Browning comes in.
And done well. This doesn't save the Bengals.
No, like, no. Maybe it saves Zach Taylor.
They've got to win some games. That's the thing is, like, I think, well, the AFC is so weird right now. Like, if you go on a run and you never know, all those kind of things, blah, blah, blah. But I think this is more about, or less about saving the season and more about keeping the building together.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of, like, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, the defense going, look, man, like, we're not good already, and now you're going to put this additional burden on us. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's more about, you know, guys, we're trying. We understand things aren't going well. Let's see if we can do something here to try to get something out of this to make this to where it's less miserable. Like, just because you're miserable, there's a sliding scale of miserable, right? You can be competently miserable.
Sure.
You don't want to be incompetently miserable, because now it's just like, it's just this cascade of errors that just keeps happening and just keeps, like, and now you're looking at Sunday or Monday or Thursday or whatever it is of every week, and you're looking at it going, I don't want to play football.
Yeah, totally.
And when you get to that level, it starts getting rough, because there's some teams around the league where I think they might already, like Miami, they might already be there.
I think they're there.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, watching that game against the Panthers this weekend was a pretty rough watch.
Yeah. And so you're trying to prevent against that.
I did some research, as somebody was asking on the chat. Bailey Zappe is on the Cleveland's practice squad. I imagine he will be promoted to be there. So, I mean, that's a veteran. I mean, well, I don't know how great of a veteran that is, but it is a veteran.
But that's really only if they want to carry three active quarterbacks.
That is correct.
Which not every team does.
No, they don't want to. But again, I don't know if, like, your quarterback room meeting is two guys that have never played in the NFL. That's the whole room. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. Like, I'm having point guard meetings for my basketball team, and both guys were in college last year. That's tough.
Hey, here's how to be a point guard in the NBA.
What? You know, I don't even like that if it's Chauncey Billups, and he was a great point guard.
A literal Hall of Famer.
I would love to hear from a point guard on how to play point guard, but we can't all be first-timers. I need somebody to lean on, and that's what worries about me in this Cleveland room. But are you really that shocked? Are you really that shocked?
No. No. And that's, just throw your hands up and go, Browns. I have a soft spot for the Bengals, so I hope they get this right.
Why do you have a soft spot?
I don't know. I just, like, honestly, I always have.
Unis are dope.
I think that's part of it, but they've always had guys like, I loved Ocho Cinco. I love Hoosh. Like,
obviously.
Carson, Corey Dillon. Like, there were teams that I loved. Like, just loved watching
the icky shuffle.
Yeah, man. Like, and then Jamar Chase is hands down my favorite wide receiver in the league outside of Mike Evans. Like, it's those two guys. I really enjoy T. You know, I know Mixon is a horrible human, but watching him run the ball was a lot of fun. Like, those, I love Hendrickson.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to.
And
I love Joe. Joe is my quarterback.
Yeah, no, Burrow's
in the NFL. I mean, when it comes to it, he's my
guys
guy.
I want to watch. He's right there. I love to hate watch Vontaze Burfict.
That guy's rough.
I mean, he's a psychopath of the highest order. But, you know, before the rules really changed in the NFL, he was out there handing out CTE to everyone who could get it. And there was something about that, like, I don't like those guys, but I wanted to watch guys like him and like Bill Romanowski back in the day of like Brian Cushing, guys that were just out there. They were out there to legitimately hurt you.
And they took hella drugs to help it.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, what Vontaze Burfict did to Antonio Brown is not okay. But also in that moment, you're like, oh, sweet Jesus, what a hit.
Vontaze Burfict, better person in real life than Antonio Brown?
Oh, God, the fact that that's an option is on the table.
Wouldn't have seen that coming.
Terrifying, but also I hate Burfict because he messed up Barkley at USC when he was at Arizona State. He took a couple cheap shots, and they actually played against each other in high school, and he took a cheap shot on Barkley back then. So there was some bad blood from that even.
But I feel like at least with perfect. Most of his stuff was on the field.
Yep,
I agree. Yeah,
he was just a dirty player.
Yeah, just flat out like
as dirty as they come.
That's what I'm saying. Like Romanowski. Romanowski was the same way. Kush was the same. Like Kush would tear your head off, but he was also dirty. Mm-hmm. Like that's just. Look, football's a nasty sport. I don't want guys intentionally hurt. Like Debo, James Harrison, he was dirty.
He
was looking to kill people.
Scary man.
But like
Myles Garrett once swung his helmet.
Yeah, like if you're hooking me up to the truth serum and the polygraph, I want one of those guys on my team. Like I don't know what that says about me, but I want a guy who's like a legitimate lunatic who is out there. I saw a clip from the Saints Giants game. It was a video feed of what is the linebacker, OG linebacker of the Saints? I'm totally blanking on his name. It's the team captain,
Jonathan Vilma.
No, it's not him. But
he's been out of the league for a decade.
56. Why can't I think of who it is? Anyways, Scatabo just he does his Scatabo thing, and the linebacker was just talking cash s to him, and Scatabo's like he hit the pile, ran it back. Like 5 yards, and the linebacker just like chirps him. He's like, I got 5 yards, dog. I'm going to keep coming back at you again.
Jamario Davis.
Thank you. Could not think of his name. And he's mic'd up, and he's like, that little man, his legs are always moving. You just see his legs moving behind the pile. He's got some gag. Like, he's like that bad kid in football camp that he's maybe a little undersized, but you're going to have to hit him. He goes,
he got bad intentions.
Yes. And and after the game, they gave a hug, and Davis hits him with I got mad respect for you, dog. Like, I love guys like that. They're like, I'm going to give it to you, and you are going to have to earn every last bit of it. I'm going to knock your teeth out. But if you rise to the occasion, there's that mutual respect. I want one of those guys on my team.
There are very few guys like this. It is hard to be a nice guy on defense in the NFL. The Reggie Whites and the J.J. Watts come to mind.
Troy Polamalu is the highest standard of that.
But there aren't many of those.
You're lunatics.
Most of them are lunatics. Most of them are Lawrence Taylor.
You're Ray Lewis.
Warren Sapp.
Yeah, like you're not a good person. Mm-hmm. Like Brian Urlacher and Troy Polamalu Luke Kuechly. Like, yeah. Those are like the three guys that are going to murder you and also pick you up and smile.
Well, Keekly's brain scrambled too, so that doesn't help anything.
But you know what I mean? Like
totally.
You guys that play like that, that play with that reckless abandon, that are going to absolutely kill you, but also pick you up and smile. Those are the ones that scare me even more.
The nice guy.
That guy's going to murder me, but also he's going to, write a donation check to my charity.
Wasn't Andrew Luck like that? Ooh, nice hit, man.
Yeah. But guys always said, that when they took him down, they felt bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hit him that hard. He's a nice guy. Meanwhile, Brett Favre left games almost dead because everybody hated him.
Yep, that's true. All right, we come back. Monday Night Football. Did it go as we felt would plan? I'm not going to lie. I took the Jags to win this game. I didn't feel great about it. Then it felt great. That's Danny on Patrick, 105.1 The Fan. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll take a peek at the number two team in the nation in college football. A lot of NFL stuff to pick up from over the weekend. Is a lot of college football news over the weekend. A lot of big games and big losses, really. So we spent most of our day yesterday doing that. So today we got some NFL leftovers for y'all today. So in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll check in on the Danny Two Nickels. Is he earning his nickname back? From me, at least. And the game that was supposed to be a defensive struggle turned into an absolute shootout. Plus, we'll have web gems as well. Noon o'clock, we'll talk Shaedon Sharpe because it's Blazer season approaching, and we'll start gearing up for that.
Brother, tomorrow night is the first preseason game.
Yep.
It is here.
It's here. It's here. NBA's here. Giannis is leaving the country.
It was family.
Saw Cooper Flagg highlights last night.
Cooper Flagg hitting pull-up threes off of pin-down screens from Anthony Davis, and it was like, oh,
he's about to be my new favorite player in basketball.
But Cooper Flagg is going to be, as much as you like Tatum.
Yeah, I'm going to like Flagg more.
Flagg, because he's got so much more. Like, Tatum's just boring.
And he plays on the same team with my guy, Klay Thompson. So
yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, they're going to be.
Big Mavs fan over here.
Look.
Big Nico guy over here. Great draft pick, dude. I thought he killed the draft.
Yeah,
I thought he nailed it with that first pick.
I mean, that's how they set it up.
I thought he nailed it with the first pick. A lot of people were wondering, was Cooper Flagg the first pick? Should we take VJ?
Bold action was rewarded.
Bold action was rewarded.
God, I hate him so much. So much.
So we'll talk some hoops all week, and we'll start gearing up for that. So hang out for that. The Jacksonville Jaguars go down 14-0 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Come back and win the game 31-0. 28. And we were talking about this in the break just now. Trevor Lawrence had an okay game.
I mean, you saw Trevor Lawrence do Trevor Lawrence things, and I feel like it's been a long time. Like, Trevor Lawrence reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. Big, strong, great arm, a lot more athletic than you think he is. Look,
I would agree with that.
We still have what? Look, the white-black quarterback thing is gone. We can all agree, like, that's gone.
Well,
like,
they all run, they all throw. Yeah. Everybody can do it.
I mean, Joe Burrow is, like, the only one who doesn't really run anymore. Like,
yeah.
There's a few out there. Lawrence is an athlete.
Totally.
And it feels like we haven't really seen him be an athlete. Maybe that's because he had to run for his life. Maybe it's because he didn't have targets. Maybe it's because he wasn't going through his reads. Maybe it's because his offensive coordinators didn't make any sense. I don't know what it was.
Bad coaching, bad owners.
All of the above. But you saw Trevor Lawrence look like Trevor Lawrence last night.
Mm-hmm.
Be a multidimensional threat.
And just moxie.
Yeah.
I think last night was the best game I've seen from him in his NFL career in terms of gut.
In a game that mattered.
Mm-hmm. In terms of just making it, look, dude, you're 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
You're 4-1. We had this conversation yesterday. It could very well be a Liam Cohen thing. It could.
It's not just a Liam Cohen. It's a new GM. It's a new head coach. It's a new OC, and it's a new DC. It's the entire brain trust of the organization is brand new.
But all of a sudden, Etienne's looking better. Travis Hunter had an awesome, awesome catch, although that ball felt a little to me like, don't throw that football. Yeah. That felt a little like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But it was caught. And, also, and if it's caught, you're like, hey, that's a hell of a throw.
And that's the thing. That's what you get your game or your playmakers to go to your game breakers. And that was the first Travis Hunter performance that we've had. Mm-hmm. Where like, look, man, if Hunter went out there and did what he's kind of done the first 4 weeks, I was going to start to raise an eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't have this earth-shaking performance, but he had moments. It was his first real moments of his career. And it was like, okay, there we go. Because I think it's fair to say through the first 4 weeks he was disappointing.
Yes, very much so.
Like, I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination.
No, even though they were winning games, it felt almost in spite.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was just there. I don't think he was a net negative, but he wasn't a net positive either. So it was cool to see that. I always want to see the young guys, you know, put on something, do a little something, show out a little bit. But flipping over to the other side of this, Chris Jones.
Ooh, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
And on Jacksonville, outside, like, this team could be 5-0. It took Jake Browning heroics to beat them in a game that they were winning almost the entire time. That's the game Joe Burrow went down. This team could be 5-0.
Yeah.
And I'm not a hater on Trevor Lawrence. I like him a lot.
But I think we're both in the same boat. But if you're
5-0, and he is not playing at his high level, what does this team look like in week 10?
Yeah.
If he starts playing at a high level,
mm-hmm.
this is a team we're going to have to watch and take seriously, I think.
It's so crazy that the Colts and the Jags, both teams were like, meh, coming into the season. Are they, like, we talked about the fraudulent 4-1 teams yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Colts and Jags are, I don't think that they're, like, not, like, I don't think they're fraudulent, but I don't think they're not fraudulent. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we'll flip to the Colts in the 11 o'clock hour for sure, because I got those same questions.
But as it pertains to the Chiefs, that play with Chris Jones.
Dude, what are you doing?
I was listening to NFL Network this morning, I think is what it was, and they were like, benefit of the doubt, maybe he thought Lawrence was down. Like, Chris Jones has earned the benefit of the doubt, but like in that moment, that's such a horrible, horrible play to not make.
Aesthetically, it just looks terrible.
Like when you throw on the film tomorrow or today,
he's standing there watching the play go down. Like, do you think someone's got him and that's why you don't go over?
That's what I.
And at some point, do you realize you're too far away? So
and it's
don't
like
go
it's
over?
Too late.
Are you worried about planting and blowing something? I don't know.
But the Chiefs are 2-3.
It looks really bad.
2-3. And they don't feel good at all. Like, I know we talked about the Eagles and how the Eagles get the pass, and the Chiefs have gotten the pass in the years before. The Chiefs have been trending down. I know they were just in a Super Bowl, but they have shown these holes of vulnerability. You know what I mean? Like, they are not inevitable anymore. And Mahomes had a pretty good game. He did have a costly pick, but, you know, there's something –
I think that's a good way to put it, that they're not inevitable anymore. I don't think the dynasty is, like, done.
No. But
I'm not there yet.
But if Mahomes is there in the fourth quarter, you're not saying, oh, this is wrapped. Like, he's going to do it. They're going to get it done.
It's a little Warriors-esque. I'm not ready to say that it's all over in Golden State, but it's not inevitable. That's a great, great, great way to phrase it.
So I'm looking at the Chiefs side of things. I don't think there's any injection of getting, you know, Pacheco and Worthy healthy and getting the running game.
And they're not out of it.
No.
The Chiefs aren't out
of it. No, they're not out of it at all. But if you're giving a team that's under 500 an opportunity, it's the one with, you know, the guy who's going to go down as one of the top five quarterbacks in the history of the game.
However, you want to play the schedule game real quick for the Chiefs? It's not fun.
Well, this is what happens when you go to a Super Bowl.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
You have Lions Sunday night this weekend.
Good luck.
At home, at Arrowhead. You get a home game against the Raiders. Then you're home against the Commies, at Buffalo, at Denver, home against the Colts.
God, that Colts game now all of a sudden.
That could be four losses.
But I mean, that Colts game all of a sudden now is like, it's spicy.
Yeah. Broncos could win the division. Because, look, we'll talk Herbert tomorrow and the Chargers
are beat up.
Like that team, I mean, they're almost Clemson to me at this point of like, bye. I love you. I was rooting for you. I had you.
Did you hear the clip that Dirt played this morning?
No. No,
damn it.
No.
Because he knew that the free blitzer was coming right up the middle.
No.
Yeah, the center was it Bozeman. He made a check at the line that overrode.
It's a rough move.
And Herbert's like, damn it. It had to turf it almost immediately.
Yeah,
I
saw that Sunday night. Yeah.
But I mean, they're dealing with a rash of injuries. Their running back room, they've already lost Harris for the season.
Yeah, so the
Hampton's
Chiefs
out for a month.
The Chiefs could get to that Broncos game, lose that game, and the division's over.
And now we're looking at the Broncos and like,
The Broncos win the West.
They may win the division.
Just like I said they would.
Just like you drew it up, right?
Give me Bo.
Yeah, their offense was anemic for forever. Their defense didn't show up until the second half of Sunday night's game. And they're going to somehow win the division because my Raiders are a tire fire.
Absolute tire fire.
The Chargers are beat to death. The Chiefs' magic is gone. Mm-hmm. Like you know what's funny is the AFC West and the AFC South have flopped.
The Houston Texans are in third place in their division.
And if they
just put 49 on Baltimore.
And if they get healthy on offense, because we know, speaking of defense, we know what that defense is. That defense is violent.
Very.
If their offense, you're not going to play the Ravens every week. The Ravens are, hands down, the worst defense in the league.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty tough.
I know they're missing guys now, so it made sense this week, but they weren't before. And I just, the whole McDonald of it all, like, boy, is that just like it, just a giant, you know, lights and sirens about how bad they are. But I mean, you look at the AFC South now, you've got the Jags, you've got the Colts, you've got the Texans. You're like, damn, is this actually a tough division?
Let's stay in this division, you know, move some stuff around here. Let's stay in this division and get to the Indianapolis Colts because they're sitting there at 4-1. And we played the game last week of 3-1 versus 1-3 teams. Good teams. Who do you believe in? Who do you not? When do you start believing in teams when they go on these kind of runs? And then this counts for you Jags fans, Niners fans, whoever you are out there. When do you start to believe that your team can have a shot, or have you just kind of rattled off some lucky wins? Second hour, we'll go there next. Don't go anywhere. We're having fun. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.